Thank you, Pastor Hosey and Craig and Bailey and Travis. Was that powerful worship or what? Yeah. Amen. I couldn't help but to think when we were singing that part on the song, "The Lord has been good to me." And thinking about the family that just lost their loved one. Right now, you see, even in the midst of tragedy, of hurt, He's still good. He's always good. And I don't know what it is you may be going through right now, and you may be thinking the furthest thing from your mind is that the Lord is good. I promise you He is. You know, He says when it comes to giving, to test me, try me. You can also try Him with your life. Because you see, you've got to measure your circumstance right now in light of eternity. This is not it. And no matter how bad it may get down here, I promise you, according to Romans 8:18, nothing compares to the glory that will be revealed to us when we see Him face to face. Nothing. Nothing. I can't imagine what that family is going through. But He can. Because He sent His Son for you. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how they feel. And so therefore, we're going to take comfort in that. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, you guys have been studying me and my family. My name is Chad Grayson, my wife Lenora. We've got three kids, Anley, Deuce, and Asher, and they are in Sunday school right now. And you've seen a lot of pictures, and I don't know if we have this certain picture I sent. If you've got it, if not, that's okay. I sent a picture, but I want to say that's the real Grayson family. I just want you to know that's kind of how we are nonstop. And so you've been seeing the serious ones, but that's really us. And so I just kind of wanted to let you know that. But I've had a great time. I really have. It's almost surreal that we are here this morning because we have been praying and fasting about this decision and whether or not God was really leading us here. For those of you who were not here on Thursday or here Friday or came yesterday, I want you to know that this is not something that we sought after, but God sought us and through the committee, and He has put together what I believe is a perfect fit. I told the crew Friday night that God has confirmed in our hearts that we're moving to Springfield. We believe it's Ridgecrest. If not, we're going to join Ridgecrest. And so I love this church. But I pray it's to become your pastor. I want you to know that. So there was a missionary in China. And it was a medical missionary. And he would always share the gospel when someone would come up and talk with him. He would treat them, but he would always share the gospel. And one day this little old lady walked miles and miles and miles, and she came and she was dirty, but she was very sick. And so he began to share the gospel with her while he treated her. And as he shared the gospel with her, he said as a flower begins to bloom, he said he saw a smile begin to come on her face. Tears were streaming down her dusty face. And he said, "I literally watched a resurrection from the dead. I watched this lady confess Christ as Lord, as risen Lord, and ask Him into her heart to be her Lord and Savior." So he sent her on her way. 3 weeks later, she comes back. She knocks on the door. He goes to the door. He sees her. He says, "This time, it's like she's a different lady." He said, I mean, just everything about her countenance, everything was different. And he says, as I began to talk with her, she said, "Listen, He saved me. He saved me. And I know He lives inside of me, and I know my sins are forgiven, but I've forgotten His name." And so the doctor said, "His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus." I read that story, and Lyra Long heard that story, and she wrote this song. "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so." Now, if I was Pastor Hosey, I'd sing it, but I'm not. "So Jesus is the sweetest name I know." Folks, I want you to know something. I've prayed and fasted for a long time over what I should preach to you. You know, a lot of times when you come, you say it's a trial sermon. Praise God, I'll never stand on trial because I'm under Jesus. Amen? But here's what I decided. I decided I wanted to come and I wanted to preach to you what I'm going to be all about if I become your pastor, and that's Jesus. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you about why I love Jesus. Why I love Jesus. Take your Bibles if you brought them and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now we're going to be all over the Bible today. I sent my outline to Travis and he sent me a text back and he said, "Now Pastor, do you want all of these Bible verses?" I said, "Absolutely." And let me tell you why. Listen to me, guys. I would rather you hear His word than my word. I said, I would rather you hear His word than my word. Okay, I said, is this on? Okay, I'm just making sure. Making sure. 1 Peter chapter 1, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to be in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So would you please, if you found your place, please stand in honor of reading God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Listen to this verse now. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, yet you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now go over to chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, verse 4, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God. Now notice what Peter says here, and precious. He calls Jesus precious. Jump up to verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. Pray with me. Father, God, please hide me today. As I told my wife this morning, Lord, this is such John 12:32. We are lifting You up today, Jesus. I'm trusting that You change lives today. Jesus, You're lifted on high. Hide me. As I said Friday night, I would rather someone vote no for me to be their pastor and vote yes for You to be their Lord than to vote me to be their pastor and vote no to be Your Lord. For You to be their Lord. God, I want You to change their life today. And as Pastor Hosey said, God, yes, I would love to see dead be raised to life, eternal life. But God, for a Christian who may be growing stale, for a Christian, God, who may be walking at a guilty distance because of circumstances and they've allowed the world to creep into their life, Holy Spirit, convict them. Let them know that You love them with an everlasting love. Speak mightily and loudly. Then with My voice, speak with Your voice to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The very first reason that I love Jesus, I'm going to give you four reasons that I love Jesus. I love Jesus because there's no rival to Jesus. Listen, there's no rival to Jesus. He's perfect. Please understand, if you miss this point, you miss every other point. Because we've got to establish the fact that Jesus is perfect. We've got to establish the fact that we don't put Jesus on the same playing field. He is the playing field. Okay? Jesus is perfect. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 113. Psalm 113, I thought Pastor Hosey was going to read it just a moment ago. Psalm 113, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens." Listen to this next verse. Who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now listen to this great verse. We always read it and we go straight to talking about the word is powerful. But listen to what it says in verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who can not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." You see, I love Jesus because there's no rival to Jesus. I love Jesus because there's no rival. You know why there's no rival? Listen to me, dear friends. He's perfect. He's perfect. I want to give you a few things that sin could not do to Jesus. Because Jesus was not tempted to show that He could not sin. He was tempted to show that He was not tempted to show that He could sin. He was tempted to show that He could not sin. You see, Jesus was not tempted to prove that He could overcome sin. He was tempted to prove that sin could not overcome Him. Let me give you a few things about sin. Sin could not convict Him. Listen to this question that Jesus asked about Himself. John chapter 8, verse 46 says, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" Which of you convicts me of sin? His friends couldn't convict Him of sin. You got to understand it. Jesus had many friends. I've got a lot of friends. And I've blown it in front of those friends. Okay? I've messed up royally in front of my friends. They could convict me of sin. Jesus' friends could not convict him of sin. He had two very close friends, John and Peter. John said in 1 John 3:5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin." Peter, critical Peter, fault-finding Peter. I mean, Peter could see the gray cloud in a blue sky. He could see the black lining on every cloud. He could see everything was always half empty instead of half full. Peter said this about Jesus in 1 Peter, "A lamb without blemish and without spot, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." His friends couldn't convict him of sins. His foes could not convict him of sin. Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "I've betrayed innocent blood." The thief on the cross who had just blasphemed him said, "This man has done nothing wrong." The centurion who oversaw the crucifixion said, "Certainly, this man was a righteous man." But can I tell you, his foes couldn't find fault with him. His friends couldn't find fault in him. His father couldn't find fault with him. You see, up until Jesus, God could say this about every single person in the world. Every one of them have turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who do good. No, not one. But you know what he said about Jesus in Matthew 17? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Sin could not control him. Number two, sin could not contaminate him. Sin could not contaminate him. Jesus and sin were strangers. Every time sin knocked at Jesus' door, he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Right. Sin could not contaminate him. Israel's greatest prophet said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." David, Israel's greatest king, said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Paul, Israel's greatest preacher, said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." But Jesus said, "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." You see, Jesus is our great example because Jesus is our grand exception. Jesus is our grand exception. All we like sheep have gone astray except Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God except Jesus. God commands all men everywhere to repent except for Jesus. You've got to understand. God, I pray you're listening this morning. If Jesus is not perfect, then we're wasting our time in here today. There's no rival to Jesus. You young people, when you go out and this world is trying to control your minds and control your hearts, and the world is steadily trying to creep into the church. Listen, let the world come in and let's give them Jesus. You know why? Because there's no rival to Jesus. He's perfect. He's perfect. Examine him. Examine him. I beg of you, students will come up to me all the time. They say, "Pastor Chad, what should I say to my friend who's a Mormon? Or what should I say to my friend who's a Jehovah's Witness?" And here's what I'll tell them. Always say the Bible says, or give them the Bible. Do you know why? I can speak a word and it's nothing. But if I speak his word, it's alive. Yes. It's alive. It's like saying sick 'em with a dog. It is. Number next, sin cannot control him. Sin cannot control him. Jesus never lost sleep over a guilty conscience. He never blushed over a shameful comment. He never regretted sinful conduct. No unclean thought ever flashed through his mind. No unkind word ever crossed his lips. No unrighteous deed was ever done by his hands. He is absolutely perfect. That question Jesus asked in John 8:46 is still going unanswered. I love Jesus. Because there's no rival to Jesus. He's perfect. Number two, I love Jesus because there's no redeemer but Jesus. He's personal. I love Jesus because there's no redeemer but Jesus. He is personal. Listen to 1 Peter 1:18-19. 1 Peter 1:18-19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct you received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, hey guys, it's Father's Day. I love you. As Pastor Jose said, there's nothing like being a daddy. I praise God. But can I say something? I received something from my dad that he received from his dad, that he received from his dad, that he received from his dad. And you know what it is? It's called a sin nature. Jesus never got it. You see, there's a lot of daddies in here today. And you're very excited about your kid maybe making an all-star team or maybe doing this or maybe doing that or whatever. But are you modeling Jesus at home? You've never heard of Herb Homoka. Y'all have never heard of this guy named Herb Homoka. He was a member of my church back at Airline Baptist Church in Bossier City. Mr. Herb was in the Air Force, and he was over in Hawaii, and he had his wife was a godly Christian. Mr. Herb was a pagan. I mean, he hated God, he hated church, hated everything to do with the church. And one day on Easter Sunday, his little girl was in there, and he had been drinking all night that Saturday night. He woke up that Easter Sunday, got in his recliner, kicked it back. His wife was getting ready to go to church. She said, "Baby girl, get ready. It's time to go to church." And she said, "Well, I want to stay with Daddy. What's Daddy doing?" And the wife said, "Well, Daddy's going to stay home and go to hell." Listen. So the little girl said, "Then I want to stay home and go to hell with Daddy." Mr. Herb said it was like a sledgehammer was knocked up inside his head. He said he got up real quick. She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm getting dressed." She said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to church." He went to church. The preacher preached the gospel, and Mr. Herb is now one of the godliest men I've ever met in my life. You say, wait a minute. You mean he could go to church one time and hear the gospel? Hey, listen, dear friends, I think it's even narrower than that. I believe that a pagan lost person can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That fast. Why? Because Jesus is personal. Y'all got me off. All right, verse 19. So you were not redeemed by those fleshly things, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. So he's personal. He did it. You're not saved by anything but by Jesus. Here's what Peter said. He said, "Man, there's nobody else that can forgive you of your sin. There's nobody else that can forgive you of what you did last night." And you know what I love? I got saved August the 5th of 1997. But what I love is I've sinned more since then than I probably did before I got saved. But what I love is the fact that I'm saved, He still keeps on forgiving me according to 1 John chapter 1. Because of His blood. And it's not that I have to be re-saved. No, I just repent. That's a lost word in the church today. Praise God that we can repent. John 14:6 says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father except through me." Acts 4:12 says, "There is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved than by that name, Jesus." Romans 5:21. Listen to Romans 5:21. I know I'm probably giving you guys a headache up in the control booth. I'm so sorry. Romans 5:21. Listen to this. Romans 5:21. See, to me, I'm talking slow. Okay? So, Romans 5:21. Y'all just, as Pastor Hosey says, y'all got to listen faster, okay? Romans 5:21, listen to what it says. "So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life." Watch this. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, He's personal. He is so personal. Very familiar verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world." And here's where we are in the 21st century. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Folks, I love Jesus because He is a personal, personal God. There's no redeemer but Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "The Lord knows those who are His." He knows you. That's what's incredible. The Lord knows you. Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians 3:10. Paul was talking about knowing Him. He said, "That I may know Him." Psalm 115, verse 12 says, "The Lord has been mindful of us." Jesus is a personal, personal God. Ephesians 1, and I didn't give them this verse, but Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says that when I got saved, listen, it says, "When you heard the word of truth. In other words, when you heard the gospel preached, it says that I believed, I received it, and it says that I was sealed. Yes. Hear me, guys. I was sealed with the Spirit of God. What does that mean? That means that He came to indwell with me, inside of me. He lives inside of me. He steps out of heaven and steps into my life, and He sealed me with the Holy Spirit, which is my guarantee. How do I know that Jesus is going to take me to heaven? Because His Spirit is in me. I've got the Spirit of guarantee. I'm sealed and I'm filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. But not only that, listen to this, not only that, He not only sealed me with His Spirit, He understands my suffering. He's personal. Oh, man, I wish I could get in every one of your faces right now. Listen, guys. Matthew 9 says that he looked and he saw him and he had compassion on him. He understands your suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 calls him the God of all comfort. The God of comfort. He understands where you are. I may not ever understand. This church may not understand. God does. Do you know why? Because He's personal. He understands our separation when we leave our loved ones. He understands. You know what I heard a preacher say one time? I loved it. He got up and this sweet little lady had lost her husband of 60 years. I was preaching a funeral with him, Brother Roger Lee. No formal education, no seminary training. That man was just filled with the Holy Ghost of God and could flat preach. And I'm preaching a funeral with him, my first funeral, and this sweet little old lady sitting down there. Mr. Pete had passed away. He was a deacon. He was the treasurer, and he was the deacon. You would come up and give him your tithe, and he would always wore cargo pants because he had to have so many pockets. He'd put tithes all over his head. He had money all over. You shook him, money just went everywhere. But he would just go, and he passed away, man, and it was so sad. And so I was a young preacher. I really didn't know a lot about how to preach a funeral. I'd never experienced that. And so Brother Roger was going to preach, and I got up and I said what I was going to do. And boy, Brother Roger got up there, and his hands were shaking. He got his Bible, and he was shaking. And I'm not going to lie, I was sitting back there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to go help him. You know, when he opened his mouth, it was as if God started speaking. And he looked at that sweet little lady, and I've used this a million times. I've used this on my mama because my dad went to be with Jesus a little over 7 years ago. He looked at that sweet little lady, and he said this, "Ma'am, you will be with your husband in eternity a lot longer than you will be without him on this earth. And son, can I tell you something? Do you know why that's true? He's personal. He's personal. Number three, I love Jesus. I love Jesus because there is no replacement for Jesus. He's precious. Listen to that word. He's precious. He's precious. You know what Peter said? Peter called him precious like three times. You know what the word precious means? Don't miss this. Don't miss this, okay? The word precious carries the meaning of exceptional distinction. To the extent, if you remove it, replacement is an absolute impossibility. Lenore and I have been married a year, and we go to Florida, and we're going out in the ocean, and going to be riding jet skis. And so I took my wedding ring off and laid it down somewhere. And because I didn't want it to lose, you know, because, man, she gave me that thing, you know. And I love my baby. And so I was like, I'm going to keep my wedding ring. So I put it off. I forgot that I'd taken it off where I put it. I came back in, son. You can ask Lenore. I was about in tears because I thought I'd lost my wedding ring. Do you know you can replace a wedding ring? You can replace a wedding ring. There's pretty much now with science and what all they're doing, there's pretty much nothing you can't replace. There's even people with hair follicles. They can replace your hair. I just outgrew my, I grew taller. My hair decided not to grow. But listen to me. You can't replace Jesus, guys. Church, please hear me, okay? You can't replace Him. And a lot of people try to replace Him with family, with work, with church, with activities in the church. But I do this. But I'm a member of this committee. But I'm in the choir. You can't replace Him. He is precious. And do you know why? Because there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No one can heal all thy soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Lastly, I love Jesus because of his soon return. He's poised. I look over there. If you could see into the heavens, I imagine that there, God is just waiting on that last person to be saved, and it may be you. And the moment that that last person is saved, God's going to look over at Jesus, who's ready. And he's going to say, son, go get my children. Yes. I told Travis, I almost wanted him to just come up here and start singing Midnight Cry. I don't know if y'all know Midnight Cry, but can I get a witness? And I said, he's ready. I mean, somebody asked me, do you think that Jesus is coming back? I said, yeah, really? So you know what my daddy used to say? Daddy used to go around and said, I stopped looking for the signs. I'm listening for the sound. Hey, Jesus is about to come back. There's an evangelist called Bill Britt. And Bill Britt said this, Big Papa. He said, oh, Gabriel's licking his lips and he's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Amen? Hey, dear friends, listen. He's about to split those eastern skies. He is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And listen, why? You say, why do you love him? Why do you love him? Because of his soon return. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only. Here we go, guys. But also to all those who have loved his appearing. I love Jesus because of his soon return. Acts 1:9-11, it says, this same Jesus that you saw go up will also come in like manner. He'll also come in like manner. Now, I didn't put this verse in my notes, so I'm sorry up there. But listen at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hey, guys, every one of us is going to die. We're all going to die. And after that, the judgment. But listen to this verse. Oh, this is so good. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Hey, say, what do you mean for salvation? Don't miss this. You eagerly await his return. Are you waiting? Did you even give it a thought that Jesus could step out today and come back? I'm telling you, at that hour you think not, he's coming back. I'm telling you, my favorite subject in the Bible is seeing him face to face, but I really love the fact that he's coming back one day. It would be okay with me if I bypassed the graveyard. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Yeah. But from... So he says he's coming back and eagerly await those, and he says, who eagerly await a second time apart from sin for salvation. You say, but Brother Chad, I'm already saved. Yeah? Listen, you have salvation free down here. You're going to have salvation full up there. Guys, listen, hear me. You say, I don't understand. All this and heaven too? Yes. Please hear me. When we see Jesus, we're going to be like him. It's going to get better. His return is going, it's going to be better. And we have it free here, praise God, but it's going to be full up there. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 16:22. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, and then listen, some people say, boy, you're a bold preacher. I'm not bold. I just preach a bold book. That's a bold book. He said, if anyone does not love Jesus, let him be accursed. In other words, curse him. You know what the literal rendition of it is? Damn his soul. That's what it literally means. And then he says, oh, Lord, come. It almost seems like Paul's being insensitive. He's not. Paul just understands that the fact that God would send his son for a world that would reject him and the fact that they wouldn't love him. Hear me? Do you know the only reason you'll die today and go to hell? The only reason is not because you drink, not because you smoke, not because you cuss, not because you've murdered, not because you've committed adultery. None of those. None of those. It's because you reject the love that the Lord Jesus has offered you. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that they rejected the love of the truth. Yes. He loves you. He does. Do you love him? Do you love him enough to give your life to him? He's worthy. Hey, our God is worthy. He is worthy. Yes. of our life. He's worthy to pack up everything and move to a country. He's worthy to pack up everything and to do whatever God calls it. And let me tell you what, He's worthy right now in this service for you to repent of your sins and place your faith in Him. Everybody look right here and look at me. Oh, do you know Him? I don't mean do you know about Him. Please hear me, because that's the tragedy of the church. There's so many people who've prayed a prayer, filled out a card, and they've been baptized, but they don't really know Him. He's not changed their life. Are you telling me that you can literally have God living inside of you and you're not different? Do you know Him? Do you really, truly know Him? Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we ask You to take this invitation time. And God, I pray with everything in me that, Lord, You would step out of heaven and step into someone's life. God, I know right now in the balcony down front, there are people who are under conviction. And God, they're wondering, can I really trust You? Can I really trust Him? Oh, Father, I pray that they won't hear this preacher, but they would hear even louder the voice of the Spirit of God. And God, that He would convict them and lead them to Jesus, where Jesus will save them.